Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
This is Don Fluckinger on site at the Athena Health User Conference 2013, talking with the company's business development manager, Kyle Armbrester. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
So here at the user conference, what are you hearing from Athena customers? What are their biggest health IT priorities, you know, moving forward into meaningful use and some of the other things coming down the pike compliance-wise?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think what we're really seeing is two things. One, our customers are very much interested in learning what's coming down the pipe from us. So we're starting to educate them more, and they see us because our kind of position in the market is we like to take the crap work out of the doctor's office. And so in doing so, they're relying on us to show them what's coming down the pipe and to educate them. So we have a bunch of sessions this year. Attendance was up like 10x what it was last year because we're seeing more complexity come out. Like you said, ICD-10, a lot of big things are down the pipeline. And so we're spending a lot of time educating them here on that now currently.
Yeah, and it seems at this moment, you know, sort of the health IT world seems to have one foot in the traditional world of IT, physical servers,
yep,
no virtualization, so on and so forth, and then the other foot in the virtualized cloud world. You know, what makes you think? I mean, you're the business development manager for Athena Health. What makes you think that the cloud is the place to be?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think that two things. One, the big servers and things that companies have bought, health systems have bought in the past, it's an extreme amount of cost, right? And so they're going to need to update that at some point. And the sunk cost is already done. And the rip and replace is like coming now. So there's a lot of analysts on Wall Street and other areas are showing that, you know, they're not going to be spending a lot of money to put in these massive server upgrades again that are going to lock them into a longer contract and push them back. The stuff is getting commoditized on the web. You pay for it like you pay a utility bill. If you use a lot, you pay more. If you use less, you pay less. And so why I think the cloud's going to win out in healthcare, costs are going to come under extreme, under the microscope in an extreme way in the future. And IT costs are a massive portion. I think Partners is paying almost $1 billion here for their Epic installation over a five-year period. Costs like that, we can't keep supporting. Other industries can't support it. They've already thrown it out. Tech and finance and pure tech out in Silicon Valley, et cetera. CRM with Salesforce, they've killed Oracle's Siebel product. I mean, we're going to see that happen again. And so our bet that we're making in the market is that Athena is well positioned to do that because of the sheer volume that we now have on our network. And we're going to continue to build that out and grow 30% a year into the future.
Now, I read in an article, I think it was published last year, you said that you called Athena Health the anti-Epic.
Yep.
And give me a little background on that, and sort of, I guess you have a personal experience with family members and Epic?
Yeah. So the reason we call it the anti-Epic, Epic's kind of mantras to keep to get the health system or get the network that they have, grab all the affiliates and everyone else around it, put a moat around that, create like this closed biosphere almost, where all information stays inside. They don't want to integrate, they don't want to partner, they don't want to push transparent information out. All they care about is control, and control, control, control. And that's why they go sell to CIOs and scare them and put in these big servers and everything else, right? And it's a massive, as I mentioned, $1 billion project over 5 years. And by the time it goes in, it's out of date software. We update our software every month, any new thing that comes out. So why we're the anti-Epic, this openness is exactly what we want. We want best of breed software to tie in to us. We want everyone else who wants to come play with us to come integrate directly into us. We're building our business model to do that. We're not selling software. We're selling a platform and a network that people can come play with. That's exactly the difference between us and them. They sell physical CDs that get shipped out and need to update, you know, with bringing Deloitte and Accenture to upcharge you through the roof to come update. In my personal story, I mean, I saw this firsthand. I had several of my family members, unfortunately, during like a 3-month period of my life, we're all kind of in big academic medical centers and all running Epic. And I saw how poor the care coordination was using this system that doesn't even talk to itself at different locations. I mean, every little install is like completely customized and lives on a big server at that location. And I just knew there had to be a better way. And so the reason I came to Athena and what we're doing now is to lay that cloud infrastructure so somebody can ubiquitously move around everywhere with their patient information where they want it to be at the time they need it.
Well, and tell me how Commonwell fits in with all this. It's the interoperability initiative that Athena, the cloud EHR provider, as well as some of the, you know, Cerners and McKessons of the world are all joining together.
Yeah, it's a good question. So patient identification and authorization is critical. And the primary goal of Commonwealth is to commoditize both of those things. So traditionally, when we would go up against competitors in the market, we would argue against interoperability as a means for us to differentiate ourselves. We basically, through Commonwealth, got together and said, enough. Interoperability is critical to help patients and to help outcomes improve. So we're going to commoditize that. We're going to charge each other basically our costs to pass information amongst each other and put a universal key and authentication identification system in around patients amongst all the players in that market. Now, it's one might ask, and you kind of alluded to it, why would a cloud company do this? We still need to interface with all the large inpatient and all the other systems that exist. Because, again, we want to make sure that that patient record can flow seamlessly anywhere. So if they end up in an emergency room on a vacation on the other side of the country from their primary care doctor, they can immediately grab that information out of its like home environment and show that right where the patient's at that point in time.
So basically interoperability right now is a mess. And after Commonwealth, maybe it'll be a little less of a mess.
Yeah, that's the primary goal. I think that's right. I think Commonwealth is a good first step. But the rest of the industry needs to figure out the internet and the cloud's a big important thing, and I think that we'll actually kill interoperability for good.
And so that sort of leads into what do you think is the state of health information exchange today, and what's it going to take to get us from where we are now to, you know, the federal government's vision of this nationwide network where if you get in an accident on the other side of the country,
right,
you can access your health data.
So it's interesting. So New York is a kind of a good use case to talk about HIE in general. I mean, they have a bunch of siloed HIEs there. They're now working to interoperate. They normalize their data and put different standards in and access control. And it's a nightmare, frankly. And we interface with a lot of it. And we do that because it's mandated there and because we also, our clients need to connect to those HIEs to pass information. That being said, that's not a scalable model. Like having siloed HIEs that are regional that try to aggregate things and then get normalized to some macro level. Instead, and this is what Commonwealth is working to address too, and what we believe is the cloud will be the better way to power all that. If we can allow people to view things in their native environment almost via an authenticated key, so go into the Cerner installation or go into the Athena installation and actually see the record there versus trying to normalize it all and have it in a clean kind of little spreadsheet that populates to you, that actually empowers people to see the way the notes are dictated, the way the information's captured, how it looks in the fields, everything, in a much more seamless, complete way. And so our view is if we can do that and start to migrate that distribution to the cloud, that can allow that quick and easy connectivity across the whole country and beyond.
Now, do you imagine one file per patient as far as one page for all of their providers, or do you see different portals for different, you know, specialists in primary care?
Yeah.
It was very interesting. In a session this morning, somebody brought up the concept of portal fatigue, which it rang with me because right now I'm trying to get all my credit cards together. I have like six credit cards, six banks, and I actually got rid of one credit card because their website sucked, right? Gone. So, but how do you see this with the healthcare, with the health data on the patient side?
On the patient side, yeah. The portal, in my view, in the long term, is not the best solution. Like it's a thing that needs to be there. So you need a means to go and log in and have all your stuff in a consolidated space. What you actually need is information pushed to you when you need it. And what we're doing with Hippocrates and some of our other like assets that we're building now in our Athena Clarity product is surfacing that information at the point of care to the doctors that's most relevant to that patient right then, right there. So if you're in let's say you're a diabetic and you have other comorbidities and you're there, the doctor would know that they need to ask you about your A1C level and are you taking your medications regularly and how's your weight then? That could happen at a specialist, that could happen at a retail clinic if they go into, you know, like a Walmart or a MinuteClinic at a CVS. And having that all that information aggregated in one place so it gets surfaced at the right time is what I think is important. Having a bunch of different portals for people to log in, again, will just create fatigue. But giving them the right information at the right time, I think that's critical. And I think to do that requires us to start to embed more metadata inside the EHR, which is what we're working to do now, to surface via our Clarity product the right point of care information at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the next big thing from Athena Health?
Next big thing from us, so I think that we're going to be putting a lot more rubber to the road about this backbone strategy we've talked about. So we want to be seen, as I mentioned before, as a network and a platform. And so we're going to be putting a lot of time, a lot of resource, and a lot of money around opening our platform up and enabling referrals and lab imaging orders, you name it, to flow through us seamlessly and out to a broader market. We want to create shopping as an experience inside healthcare, and I think that you're going to see a lot more shopping from us in the future with respect to patients and providers being able to buy and use services when they want in a cheap, easy, cloud-based fashion.
Well, this has all been very fascinating. Thanks for your time today.
Yep, it's great talking to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.